Part of our Lenten journey, our Lenten pilgrimage, should be a time of self-examination, a time of looking introspectively into ourselves. And sometimes that's not an easy thing to do. It's not an easy thing to look into the mirror, either actually or proverbially, and see the warts and the faults and the things that we don't care about for ourselves, we don't like about ourselves. But that's part of understanding our relationship to God and our relationship to each other as well. So if you were to take a piece of paper and you were to draw a line, let's just say for the last 3 days, of the high points and the low points of your life, let's put it a different way, of the things that you were pleased with that you did and the things that you were not pleased with that you did. I don't know what it would look like, but everybody's would be different. It might be this, it might be this, it might be this, I don't know. But certainly, there would be low points if you were being honest with yourself. Certainly, I would have those points where we fell short of the glory of God and we did terrible things and sinned, right? Or, you know, there's those high points in our days, in our lives, as a matter of fact. And if you were to take that timeline and stretch it out over your entire life, it might look like this. It certainly isn't going to look like that. It might look like this. It might look like that. But everybody's would be different. There would not be a point A that got you to point B. There might be a point A that got you to point B, that got you to point C, that took you back to point A, that took you back to point E. But nobody's would be the same. And again, there would be those low things, that, you know, those things that are disappointments, our failures, our shortcomings. And then there would be those things that we're proud of. You know, those moments in our lives where we say, you know, this was the best of times, truly. You know, this is, and it could be a number of things. It could be, you know, the birth of your children. It could be your marriage. It could be that promotion you got, finishing a degree. I don't know, running a marathon, I don't know, teaching your dog to sit. You know, I mean, there's a scale, right? But there would be those moments where, you know, you said to yourself, oh my goodness, I have attained to something. I have become something that I didn't think I could be, and I succeeded. I totally succeeded. And if we were to look, for instance, at the life of St. Paul the Apostle, his timeline would be very interesting. His timeline would probably look something like this. He went from a very influential Jewish family to becoming a very influential teacher in Judaism, a very respected leader in the synagogue, one who thought that he had attained to everything, both in terms of prestige of his position, but also his spiritual growth as well. Paul truly believed that he followed the law. Absolutely, the law of the Torah, which is the way to righteousness to God, absolutely and completely. And he was a devout and a good Jew. If you will, he attained the pinnacle of success, if you will, both professionally, again, in quotes, but also spiritually. And then something happened that turned his world upside down. And as he was persecuting the church, and he did so very, very well, by the way, you know, he put Stephen to death and stoned this one and did that. And he thought that, you know, he was on the path, the trajectory, even higher because God had given him this to attain. But on the way to Damascus, something happened. He was struck off of his horse and his whole life was turned upside down. And he realized that all that he had attained and all that he had achieved in his life was for naught. And he was converted to be one of the greatest, if not the greatest, missionary in the apostolic age, going about planting churches around the Mediterranean. And he had attained to that pinnacle, and then he fell into the depths of darkness, and then was raised up again by the grace of God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Which brings us to the letter to the Philippians this morning. The Philippians were the first church that Paul planted on European soil. Paul always maintained a very close and a very deep, affectionate relationship with the community at Philippi. If you read his letter to the Philippians from cover to cover, and it's very, very short, you can see the joy in his words. You can see the depth of care and of love in Christ for them, and they for him as well. But the epistle that he wrote to the Philippians, he wrote not as a free man. He was imprisoned in Rome, and he was awaiting, basically, execution. And yet, even in that darkest moment where he was facing death, he communicates with his beloved in Christ in Philippi and tells them, he's still instructing them, and tells them the depth of his care and love for them in Christ. In turn, they send him a gift. And so he's encouraging them, even in this moment of deep darkness that they are facing. And so he says to them, he says, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For his sake I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as refuse in order that I may gain Christ and be found by him, not having a righteousness of my own based on law, but that which through faith in Christ is the righteousness from God that depends on faith. Now remember, as Paul went about planting churches in Colossae and then Ephesus and Philippi, and he went to the Corinthians and all that stuff, it was not an easy road. You know, he was beaten at times, he was imprisoned, he was chased out of town, he was, you know, people didn't like him. But he continued, he maintained, he moved forward, and he did so because he knew that he was doing that to the glory of Almighty God. He knew that there was something else to attain to. And so he says, everything I had is nothing except Christ and Christ alone. So if you had to give up one thing to attain to the glory of Christ, what would it be? Sort of rhetorical, sort of not. Because we all have our stumbling blocks, right? I don't know, I'm not a video game person. My wife is. Games, I don't get that whole thing. But there's, you know, I sit in front of the TV from time to time. I know I'm on my iPad all the time. Are those stumbling blocks to Christ? Can be, could be. What are some of the other stumbling blocks? Well, let's see. How about the seven deadly sins? Do, do, do. Anybody know the seven deadly sins? All right, here's the acronym. Pale gas. Pale gas. Pride, anger, gluttony, envy. No, wait. Pride, anger, lust, envy, gluttony, avarice, which is greed, and sloth. And you say, oh, no, not me, none of those. Yes, true. It's true. We all have our besetting sins. We all do. Now think. Just think for a moment. We're not going to go real deep into this. But pride. Sometimes we feel puffed up, right? You know? I'm sure Amber gave a wonderful royal. You knew I was going to say it. I'm sure you did. And you should feel good about that. That's a good thing. That's not pride. That's offering to the glory of God. But we all have those moments when we go, oh, yes, me, right, we do. Anger, no, I don't get angry. Sure you do. Yes, you do. You know, someone steals that parking spot or, you know, cuts in line or cuts you off on the freeway. You know you do. You do. Lust, you know, it doesn't have to be a sexual thing. You can lust after power. You can lust after position. You can lust after many things, right? Envy, little green-eyed monster never pop in your brain, right? Sure it did, right? Gluttony doesn't necessarily mean eating the whole pizza or the whole quart of ice cream. It doesn't. It means indulging in anything to excess that distracts us from other things, particularly God. Greed, well, anybody play the lotto? Huh? Right? You know, when that thing was $1.5 billion, I know I bought a ticket, right? And sloth, you know, there's sometimes I don't want to get up and do the dishes or cut the weeds or that sort of thing. Is that necessarily a bad thing? No, it's not. But again, so pride, anger, lust, envy, gluttony, avarice, greed, and sloth. Those are the things. Those are the true stumbling blocks that keep us from Christ. And yes, we all in some way participate in those things. That's what we should be giving up. That's what we should count as refuge in this holy season of Lent, so that we can attain to the glory of Christ. Then he goes on to say, he says, and may share his sufferings, that I know him and the power of his resurrection, and may share his sufferings, becoming like him in death, that if possible, I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already obtained this or am already perfect, but I press on to make it my own because Christ Jesus has made me his own. Notice that phrase, if possible, I may attain to the resurrection. If possible. How many of us, I wonder, do we say to ourselves, you know, we've already gotten there. You know, I know there's a place in heaven for me. I know there is. My response would be, yes, there is. There absolutely is. But remember, it's not about point A to point B to point C. It's about growing into the fullness of God's love, into the stature and the fullness of Christ. Yes, there is a place prepared for you in heaven. But it's not, you know, it's not the get out of jail card free thing. You know, you have to put some work into it too. You got to be looking in that mirror and you got to look at that timeline, whether it's an hour or it's 3 hours or a week or the rest of your life, and see where you've fallen short to the glory of God, that can be restored and that can be repaired and that relationship with Almighty God can be put back into right relationship. And so on this, the fifth Sunday of Lent, as we move towards Holy Week, I invite you to examine, to look inwardly and understand where you stand with God. And so, you know, if you're so inclined, you're not going to probably do it. So go home and make the timeline. You know, pick 3 months or pick 5 years or pick the whole rest of your life. And when you get done with the timeline and you see this, or you see that, or you see this, or you see whatever, think about where you are right now, because God brought you to this place. God loves you in this place. God loves you in this moment, but God does not want you to stay there. He wants more for you. And so when you realize where you've come and you're done with that timeline, you realize where you're going, put a big cross right in the middle of the page and remember from whence you came. You came from Almighty God, and to him you will return because he truly loves you and truly cares for you now and through all eternity. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.